So, hi, Ricky Williams. How are you?
I'm great. How are you doing?
I'm good. I was listening to one of your chats about how you got concussions basically every day, and now you basically help people heal that. And I thought that was really interesting. And maybe you just want to open up on kind of that journey from sort of a rough and tough NFL slamming, being hit all the time to this new place you're in, where you're healing, and maybe just talk about that juxtaposition of it.
So I was a football player, and I played football for a long time, and it opened a lot of doors and created a lot of cool stuff for me. And like all football players, I had a sense that my career is coming to an end. And one of the things I became aware of during my career was I keep slamming my body and my head against these people a lot. It's kind of doing some intense damage to my body that if I really want to change this and have a high quality of life after football, I should probably get to looking at what I can do to change some of the damage I've done to my body. And so I kind of went on this journey, and I met some amazing people who showed me some really cool things, and I started to realize, wow, a lot of the stuff I'm doing to my body, if I'm willing to address it, I can actually change it. And that's really been my message. I think there's so many things that we deal with in life that are very difficult, and sometimes we have what are considered physical scars and also emotional scars. And my thing is, when I realized that I could actually heal, or I like to say change these things, my life expanded in ways that I couldn't imagine. And it was such an amazing message that I taught myself that I wanted to share with other people.
I'm curious about that place where an athlete is pushed, and it feels like, they're not really pushed to listen to their bodies as much as to like listen to what everyone's telling them to do with their bodies. Maybe just talk about the shift a little bit into a different way of being with your body and how that might actually help someone, in athletics.
It's a different way to be with your body, and it's also a different way to be with yourself. And I think, as an athlete, a lot of, at least for me, I was aware of like, wow, my body has really been a gift, and it's allowed me to do a whole bunch of cool stuff and to make a whole lot of money. And at first, it was like my body was my slave, and I had to make it do this and make it do that and make it do this and make it do that. And then I realized, if I keep doing this, I'm not going to have this body for very long. And so I started, instead of kind of making my body the slave, I started to look at it from a different perspective and started to be curious about, okay, body, how can I help you so you can help me better? And, for instance, I remember sitting in our team training room one day, and I was just sitting on the bench watching players come in one by one, going to our trainer and asking for pain meds. And it was about 80% of our team. And I realized, wow, 80% of our team needs pain meds just to practice on a daily basis. And at that point, I became curious. Like, I wonder how long I could go in a season without having to take any pain meds. And what I found is, if I was willing to be with my body and ask my body, okay, what do you need to feel better? I started to get an awareness of things I could do where I didn't have to take pain meds. And yeah, it might take an extra 10 or 15 minutes before practice, stretching or warming my body up. And it might take an extra 20 minutes getting in the cold tub after, and it might take me changing the way that I eat a little bit. But by doing those things, not only did my body feel better, but I started to have more of a connection, more communion with my body, and my body started to really take care of me in ways that I never even knew were possible.
I think even that piece that you talked about in the very beginning, where you say we can change things, because I know you're coming up, you're going to be doing a talk in Milwaukee, and tell us a little bit about the capacity to change that you've observed, and sort of maybe just address like the human's capacity to heal, because who wouldn't want that?
Well, it's really quite simple. Having a conversation with a friend the other day, and we were talking about sports, and we were talking about aesthetics, and it turned into like a deep philosophical conversation about like what is aesthetically pleasing to us, and we literally sat down and we put on some YouTube videos of like Michael Jordan's 50 greatest plays, and as we're going through, I realized, wow, what is amazing to me are things that other people do that really reorient my relationship to the constraints that I have in my life. And so it's like this place where you can expand what you perceive as possible that allows change to occur. And what I find with so many people is they spend a lot of their lives holding on and actually defending the constraints that they have in their lives. And when you're willing to at least look at them and say, is this really true? Is my life really limited by these constraints? And when you can let go of some of those constraints a little bit and realize that they're not actually real, then change just shows up. And it shows up in ways that, you know, you can't even imagine. So as a football player, one of the things that made football fun for me is I'd practice all week and I'd push myself and I'd go and I'd get into the game and I would surprise myself by the things I could do. And it's really when you're willing to let go of the need to be constrained or limited or to be in control, then you actually allow things to show up and things to change in very dynamic ways.
Yeah, tell me a little bit about that. Like, what did you love? Tell us a little bit about like, what was one of the two like the sweetest things about your career?
Well, it's just, you know, going into a game, you know, whether it's being nervous or being afraid or not wanting to not wanting to fail and getting in the game and kind of forgetting about all those fears and those limitations, and next thing I know, I'm doing things that I never knew I could do. And it's like, wow, what else can I do? Wow, what else I can do? And you know, so many times in life, we work, and we don't necessarily see any rewards for it. And I found when I was willing to just be and go for it, the rewards were so powerful that it motivated me to keep going and keep pushing the envelope.
So tell me a little bit about Access Consciousness. You're going to be teaching a workshop in March. Tell us a little bit about kind of what you do in that capacity, what that is. Maybe first start, just make it a layperson's description of Access Consciousness, and then talk a little bit about what you have planned.
Yeah, well here's the thing about the layperson. What I found with Access is, you know, there's some people that are really lay people and there's some people that are pretending to be lay people. And, you know, there are certain areas in my life where I was pretending to be a lay person, like in school, in relationships. And there are some places where I wasn't willing to be a lay person, like on the football field. And so, you know, I got to a point in my life where my life was like so average off of the field and quite crappy, to be honest. And I'd go to practice and I'd get in games and things would be so amazing. And one day I was just like, wow, what would it take for me to have the kind of success and joy I have when I'm playing football in every area of my life? And about a week after I asked that question, I got a phone call from a friend who said, I know this really cool stuff that I think you'd love. It's called Access Consciousness. And she started telling me about it. And, you know, I think what you were alluding to, I was kind of like, that sounds so weird and so crazy. No, thank you. So 6 months go by, she calls me back, and we're having a conversation, and I'm noticing there's something different about her, that, you know, she was the kind of person that just talks, and doesn't listen. And she was listening, and she had some, like, really cool, amazing things to say. And I was like, what have you been doing? She said, that Access stuff I was telling you about. And so I said, okay, send me some of that. Send me some information about it. So she sent me this recording of these two really weird guys, Gary and Dane, talking about tools. And, you know, being a football player, I could recognize the concept of tools. You know, as a football player, we go in the weight room, we lift weights, we study plays, we listen to the coaches. There's all these tools that help us to be successful on the football field. And so the tool they were talking about is a tool called Interesting Point of View. And basically to look at all of the things in our lives as just an interesting point of view. And so I spent the day, you know, I was sitting in meeting at football practice, And our coach was saying something about our game plan. I started thinking, that's not going to work. And then I remembered the tool. So I said, interesting point of view. I have that point of view that it's not going to work. And I was like, huh, I felt better. And so I kept doing that the whole day. Fast forward to the end of the day, I had like the best day of practice. I was in a great mood. And I was like, wow, this stuff really works. So I went home that night. I went online, did some more research, and registered for the next class. So I go to the class, and I'm sitting in there, and this lady's up front, and she's just asking us questions about things, and we're having a conversation. And throughout that day, I just had having all these epiphanies about things in my life and all the ways that I've judged myself and made myself feel bad about myself and pretended that I couldn't change things. And I just left that class with this lightness and this awareness that, you know, there are things in my life that I can change, and it's really not that difficult. And from that moment on, doors have just been swinging open. My life has become so much more, so much easier, so much more productive. I find joy in more things, and I'm not willing to settle for less as much as I was before. So, basically, what I found with Access, it was the first time that I allowed myself to be myself, and where I felt I didn't have to make excuses for the way I was, that I could actually appreciate the wonderful things about me and ask for more of them. And it really was that simple.
Maybe share with me, if I'm interested in learning more about this, if I'm interested in learning more about tools and kind of the things you talked about today, what would be some steps I could take? What and then tell us a little bit about what you're going to be doing. First of all, it's the fundraiser night. Tell us about that a little bit.
Yeah, so I'm coming to Milwaukee, and you know, I'm doing a longer workshop later in March, and I was looking at, because this stuff is different, you know, it's really weird, wacky stuff, and it works. And so I find that people are very like tentative, and they're not sure. And when you start talking about consciousness and where people go, is they tend to imagine themselves, you know, in meditation or doing something that's weird and uncomfortable. And that's not really what it is. So this fundraiser is to raise money for my foundation, Ricky's Kids. I have an after-school program where I really empower kids to, like, not worry about the stuff in their lives that they can't change and to look at what's wonderful about themselves. And so I'm raising money for that. So I'm coming to Milwaukee, and we're doing this. It's just an intro class, and it's Consciousness 101 is the way I look at it. And really talking to people about what consciousness is, at least our definition of consciousness, and empowering people with little simple tools that they can use in their everyday lives that make a really big difference.
Tell me, now you've been in Access for a while and you're actually a facilitator of consciousness. Tell me, like, what are the carrots? Like, what kind of sweet things can happen in your life? What are some of the things that you've observed in your own life, changes in how you relate to money or how you relate to people, when people judge you, what kinds of tools you have for that? Just kind of think about, like, sharing with others what happens if you do it.
There's one way to look at it, and I think a lot of people, when they're looking in the kind of, you know, bettering themselves or self-improvement or self-help category, that it's really, the point of view is like, there's something wrong with me, so I need to fix it. And what I love about Access is we don't really take that approach. Our approach is like, what's right about you, and like, what would it take to have more of that? So, you know, it's really not about what you can do to fix yourself, or it's not even really what it is you can do to improve your life. It's really about giving yourself permission to be you. And because you're not ever going to know how wonderful you are, all the wonderful things about you, until you start being yourself. And there's so many things that we allow to stop us from being ourselves, like our friends' opinions, our family's opinions, what we don't have. You know, we spend so much money worrying about we don't have enough money or we don't have a good relationship or all these things. Well, what I found in Access, and personally in my life, where Access created the most change for me was in my relationship. And when I retired from football, I mean, there's some crazy stat, like 70% of football players when they retire are broke or divorced within 5 years. And when I retired from football, you know, my relationship started to go in that direction. And to be honest, at the time, I was thinking, okay, how can I, like, get rid of my wife as fast as possible as cheaply as possible? And I know that sounds horrible, but it's true. So I started asking questions and using
tools. And you're not alone.
Yeah,
because
exactly.
Not because it's an evolution, like I married this, and now it's morphing into something else, and it feels uncertain. And so then it's like, oh, my God, right? You know, yeah. I mean, that's why you're not alone, right?
Yeah, and ultimately, you know, for me, I found that there are so many things in my life that were wonderful, and there were the rest of the things were things that I was trying to avoid dealing with for whatever reason. And with Access, I finally was empowered with a set of tools where I felt confident that no matter what showed up in my life, I could deal with it. Mm. And so I started to really approach my relationship with honesty, to really look at what do we actually have here and will this actually work? And what would I have to be to make it work? And the answer to that question was to be more of myself. So I started to be more of myself, and things started to change in some really dynamic, amazing ways. And it got to the point where I realized in my relationship I was trying to maintain what we had like the first week of our relationship, and I wasn't willing to create something that was better than I could imagine. Mm. And so I started to go into create mode about with my wife about, okay, what can we create that would be worth us wanting to stay together? And really giving myself choice and giving herself choice so that we could choose to have more and we could choose to do something else. And we both realized why we were together and that we could create more, and that's what we've been doing ever since. And I don't have a perfect relationship, but I do have a damn good relationship.
That's so romantic.
Yeah.
I'm guessing I'm
the romantic person in the world.
And, but I'm guessing if you look through the NFL rosters that the men who are capable of being in a really good long-term, well, look at the rosters anywhere in the world of any human being who's capable of being in a good relationship. I mean, that's really become something somewhat rare. So,
yeah, and I think that, you know, the tendency for all of us is to compare our lives and to compare ourselves to other people to judge, like, where we are. Is our relationship good? Is our job good? Do we have enough money? And I found with Access, you allow yourself to be beyond those things. And you allow yourself to create what is going to work for you.
Nice.
And that's been my favorite thing. I mean, you know, being in the public eye and really being, you know, object of so many people's projections and judgments, it was heavy and it was tough. And what I tell people, if the Access tools can, like, help me deal with all these things and move beyond them, like, what can they do for you?
I really want you to get into that just real quickly, and we don't have to go on forever, but I know for me in Access, the tools around judgment, and I look at professional athletes, and basically on Twitter, 24/7, I mean, you just follow the judgment. Is just like, you know, any game, he's not giving his all, he's blah, 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 you know. Oh, I noticed this, he's the worst player in the – my daughter's coach, he's, like, voted the worst player in the NHL or something, you know. And he's 6'7", great dad, great coach, great guy, and yet those judgments just, like, hang like clouds. And maybe just – because I think, you know, who isn't beset by that? Maybe just share your insight into that. I'm just kind of interested, and maybe you can share some light. And you know, just even being a black athlete in America, you know, what kind of judgments you might face, if you want to share that.
Well, yeah, I mean, again, you know, my first Access class, I was sitting in class, and the idea of judgment came up. And really, it wasn't anything that I spent too much time thinking about. And what I realized is, like, wow, so many people try to avoid other people's judgments, and at the same time, they turn up the volume on their judgments of themselves. And so I say, like, when you stop judging yourself, you don't even notice other people's judgments anymore. And it was like after that first day of class, I went home and I told myself, you know, like, I'm going to go a whole day without judging myself. And people would call me and they would, like, start judging me, and I would say, hey, can you call me back tomorrow? I promised myself a day without judgment. And it was so awesome to, like, hear the silence on the phone when they were like, okay. And so, you know, people make judgments real, but they're not. They're just judgments. And I think once you are willing to stop judging yourself, you start to get a sense of what that actually means. Because, you know, so many people, they run away from judgments, or they try to defend against judgments, or they try to protect themselves from judgments. And again, at the same time, judging themselves mercilessly. So, like, what I asked people was, like, what if you were willing to give up judging yourself?
If you were standing right now in front of, say, a team that was facing a championship game, you know, we'll just say NBA since NFL's been for a while, and you're standing in front of all the athletes and they're facing kind of a big day or big game, what advice would you give them right now?
I wouldn't give them any advice. I would ask them a question. I would ask them, what is greatness to you, and what would it take for you to be that today? Mm. You know, so much of it seems the world is, like, we're always functioning from, like, what we really want, what we really need is outside of us, and we're not willing to look at what we could actually do to be what we perceive is outside of us. And so my question would be, what is greatness to you, and what would it take for you to be that today?
That's awesome. Anything else you want to... Oh, why don't you just do a little comment on your foundation and what it does, and with the money that's being raised, the Milwaukee event, and just start like a complete sentence, like start from zero.
So my name is Ricky Williams, and I have a charitable foundation called the Ricky Williams Foundation. We have many programs. The target of our foundation in general is to empower people through awareness, through research, and through programs. And right now our top program is called Ricky's Kids. We're in several elementary schools in East Austin. We're working with primarily underprivileged population. And the way it started is with me, you know, growing up, and I realized I was a really good football player, and so I put all my eggs in one basket and said, I'm going to be a really good football player. And I thought I was just a football player until I was about 27 and realized that, you know, there's so much more to me. And I was like, wow, I wish someone would have told me that so much earlier. So we are empowering kids to know that they can be whatever they want to be, and not from the rhetoric of saying it, but actually showing them that you can be whatever you want to be.
Oh, that's such an awesome cause. Thank you so much, Ricky. And then what else would you like to share with anybody listening who might want to have some of what you're having, as they say in Access?
You know, I'm glad we're having this chat, because, you know, there's so much rhetoric around, and people always trying to sell things. And I almost feel like it hurts me that I'm the thing that I try to sell people is themselves, and it's like no one wants to buy it. So it's like all the things that you think you can't have, what if you could have them? And what if coming to this talk tonight, or whenever we have this talk, would actually start you on that road and start you in that direction? And it's what I found is when you're willing to choose at least something different, something that you've never chosen before, that you start to become aware of all the things that you can choose that you've never chosen before. And each time you choose something new, more possibilities show up. So in the course of a really short amount of time, possibilities that you never imagined start to become not only possible, but start to become a reality. And it's so much fun.